do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
Once again, we are joined by my excellent friend Jen. I need to come up with a different adjective, I think. Once again,
I'm okay with excellent.
Once again, we're joined by my outstanding friend, Jen.
Perfect. I'm sitting, though, so.
Oh, God. I'm the one who's supposed to come up with the dad jokes here.
I know.
I mean, technically, you know, as of the time of this recording, not yet a dad. But that day
but
is
you'll be a dad
approaching.
Before I will.
That is... Suppose that's true. how's it going, Jen?
Well, I'm kind of bummed out. I've been having a really bad day because you have not bought flavor.country yet.
Okay, listen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because, I mean, it does seem like a very reasonable price.
It does. You know what? I may gift it to you upon the birth of your child. You can have flavor.country, which you will then one day have to explain why you got that as a baby welcoming present.
You know what? I have a feeling that Mavis will understand.
All right. Well, I'm no longer sad. I have a solution to that.
It's a great one. It's a great one. What have I been up to recently?
Besides, you know, prepping for many, many dad jokes.
I mean, here's the thing. I haven't actually been doing a lot of dad joke prep.
You're just going to wing it?
Yeah. I wonder if it's just like a natural state that will simply descend upon me when the child arrives. We're gonna find out.
Yeah. If you need a dad joke resource, there are websites.
I feel like that would be cheating.
It is cheating, but you know, do you want to be a good father? You have to know the jokes.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah. I just lit some pressure on you there. The entire quality of your fatherhood is based on the caliber of jokes you tell.
Whew. All right. Well. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I think it might be time for us to introduce our guest.
I think that sounds great.
Beautiful. Our guest this time around is my fantastic friend Casey. Casey.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I am Casey. I yell at programmers professionally and click on a lot of buttons, and it's pretty much the best.
Excellent.
That sounds great.
I think that it does. If you are new to the show, here's what's going on. For the past decade, I've been writing down literally every stray idea I've ever had the moment I had it, which has resulted in my accumulating a vast heap of ideas. Over 700 of them, actually. What are they? Are they good ideas? Is this a normal amount of ideas for one person to have? We're going to find out. And the way we've chosen to do that is Jen and I have given Casey access to the heap, and she's just going to paw through it and find anything that interests her so we can just discuss it, get it out into the open, and if there's anything you hear that you like, you should go ahead and do it. I just want credit. Maybe a cut. Casey.
Excellent. After going through your spreadsheet, I have been reminded that I, too, have a heap of ideas. They are all listed on note cards somewhere, and I'm pretty sure I started them back in high school and have not actually looked at them in about a decade.
So amazing.
I've got some old school ideas hiding in the depths of my closet somewhere.
I would be most curious to see what those...
You should come back on the show and share some of those. Have a special guest segment.
Yes. Let's see. So the first thing I found that really caught my eye was the Etsy store of improved shitty ideas.
Ooh.
Okay. Yes. It's this. Astute listeners may remember, I think it was an episode in the past where we had Yaz on. And there are a lot of things on Etsy that feel like good concepts that are just not executed well. And I feel like I would love to see a store that takes those ideas and actually does them right. And just sells the improved versions of those ideas. Well, like,
does it sell the idea or does it sell the?
Oh, it sells the product. Like, you know, somebody is selling like a version 1.0 idea, mm-hmm. and it's not good. But like, but you can see the idea.
There's some hard thing.
Yeah, if, and so like, so this store basically takes version. This store sells version 2.0 of that idea, or 3 or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's iteration as a service.
Yes, and you know, I mean, like, I think it would be up to that store to decide whether or not to kick any of the resulting profits back down to the originators.
Sure.
Like, because it's like, look, if you had an idea and you couldn't do it right, like.
Ideas are not copyrightable. You cannot copyright or trademark an idea, but you have to do it with the finished project. So,
it's true.
But karma.
Karma. You do want to be nice to people.
That's fair.
And fostering a culture of, you know, not being a jerk. Take someone's idea and make it better. That's great. If you're a jerk about it, then in 50 years they'll make a documentary about you.
That's true.
Not be good.
It will not be a kind doc. Yeah, no, that's fair.
So, what is the legacy you would prefer to leave? This amazing life-changing thing, plus a terrible documentary, or a life-changing amazing thing, and
you
like
kicked back the right way,
and like $200 less,
and like a library named after you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is fair. That is fair. All right.
So, choose your fate.
Here's the question is, like, what is the correct proportion of your pro? Let's say somebody had, like, a 1.0 idea, and I sell the 2.0 version of that idea, and it makes me $10. How much of that $10 do I give?
I think it depends how much you are improving on it, I think. Because if, you know, let's say someone has, I don't know, Uber for socks, and you're like, wait, what if it's Uber for all footwear? I mean, you've expanded the market pretty broadly. And so I think, you know, their limited V1, you know, means that the cut's smaller. I don't know why you would have Uber for socks on Etsy, but I remembered that from a previous episode.
You can partner with like Indie Hackers and those other, I think there's two of them now, but they'll email you like a startup idea a day or like a program idea a day. If you're like, man, I just want to build some shit, but like I have no ideas. I said no man ever. But,
right. And instead, these men will inflict their bad ideas on you.
Right. But then you can Etsy them. Then you can, what was it, iteration as a service?
Iteration as a service actually sounds very profitable because, I mean, not necessarily with Etsy, but like with startups.
Yeah.
There are so many things that like really are just bad execution.
Like if you just,
like you just need some help.
What if there was a consulting agency that you could form that was just this, where it's sort of like, hey, your idea is not good. I mean, or like the way you've gone about your idea is bad.
Yeah.
We will help you.
We'll help you not flop in your first year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if it's sort of the thing where it's like, listen, this idea is so bad, or like this execution of this idea is so bad that you have poisoned the ground for your company.
Yeah.
We will start,
and yourself.
Yeah. We will start a new company, you know, that we'll pretend to be your rivals and we'll do it right and then we'll just cut you in on the back end.
Here's another one. Nice. Faking death as a service. Because if you found something so bad that your personal brand is damaged forever, but you still want to be an entrepreneur, I mean, like,
you don't need to go as far as faking your death. You just need to have a really emotionally terroristic tragedy happened to you.
We could stage tragedies for people.
Disease with a really terrible outcome, like
tragedy as a service. Listen,
I can't believe I just said that phrase.
I mean, I had to repeat it in that odd tone because
it is very Silicon Valley, though.
It could be, we're in the right place for it.
Yeah,
we are in that most Silicon of valleys right now.
Yeah,
I'm just putting this out there. Wow. All right.
Let's move on to something peppier.
So these ones were two things I thought were related.
Okay.
And also I wanted to mention something that a friend of mine has done, which is basically done this exact thing.
Amazing.
Made up cocktails and beer otter pops. These felt very thematic for me.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beverages
are great.
Does made up cocktails have a note of any kind on it?
Party, booze. I think those are tags.
Okay, yes.
Is this fictional cocktails but made real, or is it just being creative with cocktails?
I think it's a party idea that I had where There's like a bunch of booze, and you. I think the mandate is that you cannot. Like everybody, like, you know, makes drinks, but I think the mandate is that, like, you have to make a drink for somebody else, and it cannot be an existing cocktail. Like, you have to just make the shit up on the fly.
Okay.
I would want to invite only people who are very good at making cocktails.
I would just show up with a lot of candy, because that is going to be my fast track to making cocktails for everybody.
And we stop by, like, the Whole Foods and grab, like, all the herbs from the, like, grocery department. Like, oh, go put some basil, some rosemary.
Nah, you just go straight Kool-Aid and Skittles. whatever liquor you want.
The problem with the candy and with the herbs, honestly, is that, like, they require time to infuse or dissolve, right?
Kool-Aid powder.
Muddling. I think we've actually
muddled basil and grape Kool-Aid. That's your cocktail.
I mean, you can muddle candy too. Yeah. You have several sorts.
I suppose that you know what? In all of my years of like making candy booze, it had never occurred to me to like destroy the candy before it went in.
Yeah.
I mean, this despite the fact that like Pixie Sticks was like one of the first things I tried, and it works incredibly well because it's a fucking powder.
This
like,
is fascinating because the very first time I did Skittle alcohol,
yeah,
I crushed them, and then I read your recipe and realized I had not done it the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I put them in a bag and I used a meat tenderizer to blast the Skittles.
Sure. But I mean, the end result was probably the same, right? I mean, you
mine was messier because yours, I think, your angle, because you start with like a whole Skittles.
They just go in there. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think that works out a little bit better. The straining through the cheesecloth phase is less fun when you have like, pulverized Skittles.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. That's something I would
want. But if there is a way to smash only the shell part off of the Skittle and then extract the rest, that would reduce the straining.
No, it's true. Mm. It's true.
I think that might have been what I was trying to go for.
Roll them on something to chip off the outer layer.
Yeah.
That seems possible.
I'm trying to think. I feel like
you
might
Dremel a Skittle.
Can we go to Home Depot after this? Because we're dremeling some Skittles, right? I feel like you could probably talk to people who make, like, beer or wine to see how they, like, clarify things out of it. Because the cheesecloth, yes, but I feel like just
a centrifuge of some sort.
Ooh. Yes. Wait, could you power the centrifuge with the Dremel? Because I want to, like, have, like, an all-in-one candy
boost. Definitely need high
power. Just, like, a bicycle-powered, you know, something.
No, dude, that shit's on Craigslist. Yeah, like, you can buy, like, medical and scientific grade centrifuges on Craigslist. How do you think biotech startups get their equipment?
That's a good point.
Holy shit!
I have worked at biotech startups and bought and sold centrifuges on Craigslist and eBay.
That would be way easier than, because like the filtration is the worst part of making Skittle vodka by far. Mm-hmm. By far. Alright, well.
Yeah, if you can get like a bunch of a centrifuge that'll do like 150 milliliter tubes, you can run a bunch of them, you can probably get a solid couple liters per go.
A centrifuge for $900.
Well,
you can get a
55-gallon drum.
Okay, that's a big one.
It is apparently for olive oil.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
And the person tried to attempt to turn olive oil into fuel. Okay.
Oh.
I mean,
see, now that's got a story. Can you just email that guy anyway? Right. Like,
I want to learn about it. Well, I mean, but he's getting rid of the equipment, so clearly this is not like a Doc Brown situation that worked.
This time, does he want funding? Like, no, I want to read his blog post. Like, whatever his blog was where he attempted this thing, that sounds amazing.
That is true.
What was the other part of that idea? Not the other part, but the other idea.
Beer otter pops.
Oh, yeah. Does beer freeze?
Yes. Also wine freezes.
Wine freezes.
I knew that wine froze because I've made wine popsicles. But for some reason, I thought the carbonation in beer would make it weird.
This is actually interesting because I don't fucking enjoy beer. And so I wonder how that idea... I mean, I'm betting that idea must have been had at a bar with some friends, and I just wrote it down.
Yeah.
Because this clearly is not an idea for me.
Okay, I mean, like, $85, by the way.
Would somebody... Wait, for what?
$85 centrifuge.
Oh, shit.
Fully tested and worked. I'm going to buy this.
how much volume?
It doesn't say. I guess I can look up the model number.
Well, yeah, what they'll do is they'll have like what size tubes you can put in there.
It says it's 1550 RPM. Let's find out.
fascinating.
This is, I mean, this is going to take our candy booze level, like, yeah, a very different level.
Yeah.
And actually, if you centrifuge them, then you'll have, like, a little nubbin at the bottom of these tubes.
That's candy.
That's candy and possibly some remaining alcohol.
So, oh, now you've made your own, like, this is
assembly line, like, perfectly crafted garnishes.
Oh, Casey.
Oh, my God. All right, well, this idea is being adopted. Yes.
This is the beauty of this podcast. Just right here. All of this that just
making
happened.
Making this happen, yeah. Well, I mean, because Candy Booze. Candy Booze is why we're friends, I believe. Like, I'm pretty sure we were introduced by a third friend because of our mutual love for candy alcohol.
That seems highly possible. I think he might also have known that we were giant Star Trek nerds.
Yes.
Yes. All right, well, where were we on this? All right, beer Otter Pops. Would that be good? Do you like beer?
I like beer.
Does this sound like a good idea?
I think it would depend on the beer.
Aha.
Okay. Do you think like a lighter, like an American, like a Bud Light or something, would be better than like a craft beer Otter Pop?
I don't know. So making beer cold removes some of the, it doesn't remove the flavor, it like just kind of makes it so like there's not much to smell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why like beer is served really cold in America, whereas like if you're at a fancy place, it's like, oh, this is room temperature beer, like lightly chilled. And you can smell it a lot more. I had a really great cream ale yesterday that was very, very light, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. But
okay,
yeah, like,
yeah, that would be good.
But since we're freezing them, they're Otter Pops, I feel like, yeah, like maybe some nice saisons, really nice sours, like
Framboise,
pale ales, we can get into ciders, like
I would have a cider.
The cider Otter Pops.
As long as it wasn't hopped. Because I've seen hopped ciders, and I want to call the cops every time.
Yeah, you should. That's not okay.
Yeah, no, it really isn't. It really isn't. Okay, so beer Otter Pops seem like a plausible. Mm-hmm. All right. Great.
Yeah.
I have a friend who runs an Instagram, mocktails, mock_tails.
Oh, that's excellent.
And she, these are less like actual cocktails that you would have and more like commentary on the dumpster fire that is the world around us. It's a specific theme. So like the millennial one was really great. The having lunch with your mom and like she gives you money. And you don't want to take it, but you have to.
Oh.
Sort of cocktail.
These are some names.
Yeah, it's gotten real dark lately.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
But very funny, and I thought it was a great, like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, I'm like, what about the mom cocktail? So it's, like, just gin.
Right.
And, like, a lime popsicle as, like, your Swiss thing. It's like, oh, now it's gin and lime, but... Yeah. It's with ingredients I already have at home with my lime popsicles. And then, like, what are the other flavored popsicles? Could this go further? Like, orange popsicles and tequila?
Mm-hmm.
Sunrise?
Okay, I will say that, and I think this has come up on the podcast in previous episodes, that there is actually, the range of candy flavors that goes into tequila is actually very small.
Oh, yes.
Like, lemon heads, and that's about it. Lemon heads or green apple Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Or both. If you put both of those, it's delicious because it basically makes kind of like a margarita.
Okay.
Yeah.
Except it's just tequila.
And you haven't found like a lime candy that this works with.
We tried lime Skittles and
those aren't lime anymore.
No, they're green apple.
I know, but this was back when we had lime Skittles. We tried it and it didn't work. Neither did orange Skittles. Like.
You would think.
No, those are... Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it was very strange. But
so
it occurred to me that,
lemon
like...
lemon heads and green Jolly Rancher?
Yeah, green apple. Yeah. They work in tequila somehow. I don't know what to tell you.
Fascinating.
But, so... I don't think it ever occurred to us to put lime Skittles into gin, though.
No.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, clearly there are more experiments to be made.
You also had a grapefruit gin, didn't you?
We did, and it's fantastic.
Awesome. Strawberry Jolly Ranchers in gin with basil. I'm obsessed with this idea of the candy and the herbs together. Mm-hmm. So strawberry basil with gin, but like it's Jolly Rancher.
You, me, and my friend Felicia will like. We should. We'll make this happen.
All right.
Between the three of us.
Also, I found so many cheap centrifuges. This is blowing my mind. There's one, I looked up the model, which apparently sells on Amazon, but it's $250, but I found it on Craigslist for $80. And it holds, it doesn't seem to hold very strong amounts. I mean, this is for a bio startup, clearly, because the test tubes, it holds six of them, and they're like 15 mils. But if we're just separating out the candy before it's infused into the alcohol, that actually could be, that could be pretty good.
If you want to do, I think for the volumes that you guys would want, I think 150 mils would probably be best, because those are like... maybe a quarter of a can of sodas, but you can get this like big a ones that hold like...
Oh, yeah, no, but this little guy, this is like a tabletop model.
Yeah, it's no, really we'd want something that could
fit. This is the BB-8 of centrifuges.
We're talking about as kind of like a garage setup that we'd want, you know?
Right, I don't have a garage, so...
I do, though.
Ooh, all right.
Well, listen, we will... let's take this offline.
Yes. Casey, Flavor Country is now going to be host to our candy alcohol, but...
Casey, what's the next idea? I think we have time for one more.
What's the Crowd Like app?
It's an app that interfaces with a camera that exists in any venue,
okay,
like a restaurant or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you could just be like, "What's the crowd like at La Taqueria?" Yeah, exactly. So like you just bring it up and it just gives you a picture. Of like, here's what it looks like over there right now.
User personas are just flowing through my head right now for things this could be used for.
Like, I mean, I would use it all the time for just knowing whether or not the restaurant I wanted to go to was crowded as fuck or not, right?
Yes. Like,
Or are
people looking like douchebags?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It could be used to see like, is there a frat party happening at this bar right now? Like, yeah. What's the crowd like?
Yeah. Also for people with social anxiety. Like, are there too many people at this party?
Yep.
Okay, do you stay home?
You could hook an API into it that could that would feed you a list of the least crowded bars in a restaurant in like a neighborhood, and you could be like, "Oh, I want to go to that bar because there's like three people in it right
now." Like, I want a romantic night out that doesn't have a bachelorette party going on in the next room. Like, this is good.
Very into this plan. Is good.
I think we've made a lot of progress here.
Yeah.
I think I need to... I'll find us a couple of VC firms to... It is now time for one of us to give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guests. Do we have a terrible recommendation? Or, Casey, do you have an idea that you would like to give to the world?
I have an idea. I want to give it to the world.
Yes.
I don't want to buy it.
Okay.
As soon as someone friggin' makes it.
Yes.
Tinder for shrinks.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Like, we can expand this to doctors, but, like, Tinder for shrinks. Like, no, I want to know that you are not going to be mean to me. I want to know what insurance you take.
Oh.
I want to know
if... So ZocDoc would be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And also with, like, swiping so that I can do this, like, in between, like, anxiety attacks in the bathroom at work. Like, no, I do need to see a shrink. Yeah, no.
Huh.
Distance.
See their pictures of their office.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not they have, like, weird incense or, like... weird music, or if they do like water sounds, like, do you need to pee a lot? You need to not have water sounds in the office.
Yeah.
that's cool. Yeah.
Do they look like a good listener? Can you tell by their furniture in their office if they're actually really bad listeners?
Are they cat people or dog people?
Yeah.
That's a really necessary personality trait.
I'm very into this.
This is brilliant.
I don't know how we get the shrinks to sign up for it, but I mean the Tinder like app, I can build you that.
That's true. You have some experience in these matters.
I have done that before.
Do the shrinks need to know they're on there?
Oh.
Because maybe
so you like stealth go into their office but then how do you get an appointment? Oh, accepting new patients.
Accepting new patients or not. Yep. And whether or not they accept your insurance. No, I like this.
I feel like what we're doing is building things that connect to other things. And
use like the ZocDoc API if there is one, and
it's probably trash. It's fine.
Perfection.
And then maybe also hook up with another thing that will like one of those like fancy hands, like personal assistants, so someone else makes the appointment for you.
Oh.
Fix it up to your calendar, like, okay, I'm free on these days. Someone else tell me what I'm doing with my life so that someone else can fix it. Yes. I have no part in this other than swiping. Swiping is my only job here.
Okay. Swiping and then calendar access with now you've got it. I mean, that's a job that you initially give to somebody, you know, like a dispatcher somewhere, you know, but eventually is handled by an AI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
God. The future.
This is the thing.
Amazing. Well, Perhaps it is time for us to tell everybody where to find us on the internet. I can be found on Twitter or Instagram as FerociousJ, the word ferocious, the letter J. I also have a newsletter at tinyletter.com/FerociousJ. It comes out basically every other week when I update the podcast. It contains just like a ramble from me, hashtag dad thoughts. There's a list of interesting articles I found from around the internet, and it's the kind of thing that you can easily read over breakfast or while you're bored at work.
Excellent. I can be found on the internet, well, specifically on Twitter, as at Jennifer Marie. I guess I can also be found on the internet, but that's harder.
Nobody stalks.
It takes work.
Yes.
I am not frequently publicly on the internet, but I hope to someday figure out an easy way to share my Google calendar of movies I would like to see.
Ooh.
It is all sci-fi and thrillers and very terrible things. They're all fantastic.
Excellent. That is excellent.
Yeah, you should make a Google short link for that.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and then just make that public.
Done. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Idea found. And then this podcast, of course, can be found pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, whether your favorite service is Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or the Google Play Music Store. But whichever platform you're using, we want this podcast to keep going until John runs out of ideas. So please leave a nice rating.
And remember, if you have heard an idea that you like, please take it, run with it, do it. I just want credit. And a cut.